RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Get it. For your lives.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
You guys know why you're here. It's Thursday. It's 10 o'clock. It's MP on the mic. Live on 910 The Fan. Live on 105.1 The Fan. Live worldwide on the Odyssey app. Appreciate you guys joining us. Tons to get to. I think everybody knows we're here to talk about the big sports story of the day that everybody wants to call in, weigh in on, discuss, debate, dissect. That, of course, Vince Williams Jr. signing his 3-year, $7.9 million guaranteed contract with the Memphis Grizzlies. Congrats to Vince Williams. Okay, no, that's not it. It's Belichick, it's Saban, it's Carroll, it's all of that. But shout out to Vince Williams, man, out of VCU. Got the two-way contract, turned it into something. 3 years with $7.9 million guaranteed. You know I get the chance to shout out a VCU Ram. We're going to take that opportunity to shout out a VCU Ram, even if Nick Saban tried to rain on that parade, even if Bill Belichick tried to rain on that parade. We're still giving Vince Williams his flowers. I'm not going to accuse Pete Carroll of trying to rain on the Vince Williams parade. I think Pete Carroll got the short end of the stick himself. He announces he's leaving. Oh my gosh, Pete Carroll, Super Bowls, Russell Wilson, USC, Reggie Bush. What a career, what a man, what a life. And he's the third most interesting coaching departure. 12 hours later? Thanks for playing, Pete Carroll. We will get into all of that. Pete Carroll moving into an executive role with the Seahawks. Nick Saban retiring and Bill Belichick out in New England, of course, at 10:15. You know the first segment, we're live and local here on The Fan. I want to get into something else, though, which is this story about the new ballpark, the new replacement for the Diamond, and some reporting in the Richmond Times-Dispatch by our guy Eric Kalenich over the weekend about the city delaying that. We'll dive into that at 10:30. We'll welcome in Lane Casadante of CBS 6, trying to keep afloat with all this news. Great local stories happening as well. VCU, of course, picking up their win in Fairfax on Tuesday night, and the Hokies throttle Clemson at home last night. A statement win for the Virginia Tech Hokies. Great to see them back on the winning side of the ledger in ACC play. Finally, some winners after a very tough start to conference play. Really, for all our teams, not named the Richmond Spiders. Spiders with a good start. Everybody else really kind of in a little bit over their heads at the moment. So we'll celebrate VCU wins and Hokie wins and see if they can't get back on track. We'll talk about all that with Lane Casadante. Of course, the Commanders continue to do their thing, continue to do their search. My conversation with Craig Hoffman of our sister station in D.C., the Team 980, at 11 o'clock. We'll welcome in JC. He's on the board. We'll welcome in AWOD as we get closer to 12 o'clock when AWOD Radio takes over. He'll be on till 3. Grant and Danny will drive you home on the Fan. But yes, as mentioned, Eric Kalenich in the Richmond Times-Dispatch over the weekend. Here's the story. The city of Richmond intends to delay buying Sportsbackers Stadium as city leaders and developers prioritize building a minor league ballpark within the Diamond District redevelopment, for people familiar with the matter said. Now, we've been talking about a new stadium for the Squirrels since I moved here 17 years ago, 18 years ago. It's been a minute. It's the eternal topic. We're no closer. The Richmond Coliseum's still standing there. I think we got that twinge of hope, right? Mayor standing there with the hard hat saying we're done. We've got a deal. But we haven't seen much since then. And this is not a great development here because Sportsbackers Stadium is owned by VCU. And the city is going to defer $25 million in payments owned to VCU in an effort to reallocate money to getting the baseball stadium across the finish line. Now, I am aware economic conditions change, things change, building construction costs change, inflation changes, interest rates change, but $25 million, we're stiffing VCU $25 million now, and I haven't seen a shovel in the ground over there on the boulevard. And this is getting concerning. We're a year in on this agreement to get the job done. We're a year in on, oh, it's a done deal. This is Mayor Stoney's legacy, right? And now Mayor Stoney's putting out ads that he's running for governor, and we still don't have a shovel in the ground on Boulevard. This is getting very concerning. VCU, by the way, of all the people to stiff, VCU's friggin' building this city. Probably one of your most important constituents. If you're the city, you will maintain nice relationships with VCU. They're going to build a whole athletic village over there. Now you're setting them back so you can keep chasing this baseball project you can't get your head around. This was one of the more discouraging stories I've read in a while. And look, it's been just a steady drumbeat of negative news ever since the announcement that there was an agreement for a new stadium in Scott's Addition in the Diamond District on Boulevard. This is not moving the direction it needs to be moving. A quote in the article, the budget for the ballpark has ballooned and the money has to come from somewhere. I find it hard to believe it's been that crazy since the announcement, right? You have the announcement, you're done, we got everything lined up, and now it's, well, we actually need a lot more money. What if we took it from VCU? Which is bad for the neighborhood if VCU can't do what they need to do. Bad for the city. You're chasing this 2026 deadline Major League Baseball gave you. Let's check the watch here, check the calendar. It's 2024. We're now 2 years away. And I'd reiterate my initial point. We don't have a shovel anywhere near a ground on Boulevard. I'll go over there with a shovel myself if that'll help speed things up. We need this. The city needs this. The city had, I don't know how closely you follow the Metro News, they're having big issues with billing restaurants, with collecting tax, with getting their act together on simple things. This is a complex thing. And it's become very clear they don't have their act together on this complex thing. And this guy thinks he wants to be governor. Get a shovel in the ground in Scott's Addition. We've been waiting a year. And don't stiff VCU. By the way, another headline. you know, sometimes it's just, you know, the headlines next to each other put you on tilt. That was the case for me. $25 million, the city's not going to pay VCU. They're going to defer that money. The city of Richmond, this is a separate story. The city of Richmond reported a total of $12.6 million in excess tax revenue this fiscal year, on top of a $17.1 million surplus last year. I have done some math, and admittedly, math is not my strong suit. That's why I'm in here talking about sports and not out there doing math. But $12.6 million and $17.1 million does seem to get us past the $25 million that the city claims it doesn't have for VCU. You don't have a $30 million surplus if you have a $25 million debt. That's not how accounting works. That's never been how accounting works. I don't understand what's going on here. Maybe somebody smarter than me will get on the program and explain it someday. But until then, I'm very concerned about the future of baseball in Richmond, the future of this project, which looked like we had finally crossed the finish line. Everybody's standing there. We did it. And then ever since then, you just hear the squirrel's contribution changing, the rules changing. No, I just keep coming back to there's not a shovel in the ground. And we got to see it before we believe it. This is Richmond. We've got to see it before we believe it. I don't see anything. I don't see progress. I see a story in the Richmond Times-Dispatch that Richmond is holding back on paying VCU $25 million in an attempt to keep this project on track, which is this project's already way off track, obviously, in a last-ditch effort to salvage whatever can be salvaged here. So I wanted to start local because we'll talk Belichick, we'll talk Saban and their influence. But this is the stuff that matters, and it's falling apart once again. And I don't know what to do about it other than sit here and complain because we were promised something and we're not getting it. And the guy who promised it to us is off running for governor. What happened here? Pick up the leaves, build a stadium, then you can be governor. Then you get to be governor. But until then, if we're stiffing VCU, a group that's done so much for the city, that's a bad look, among many other bad looks this month. It's a bad start to 2024 for the city of Richmond. I'm pulling for the stadium. I want the stadium. I think it's a great location. Scott's Addition is happening. VCU's happening. It's right there on the highway for everybody to access easily. We need a stadium. We need that boost to the team, to the Squirrels. But very discouraging news coming out this week about where that's at in the process. We'll keep our eye on that as the weeks go by here. Because once it gets warm, I'd like to see a shovel in the ground. I'd like to see something indicating some level of progress, because right now we just don't have that. All right, we're off and running on a Thursday. It's 10:11 when we get back. We will take on the big issue of the day, which is, of course, all these coaches keep leaving. What does it mean for the Commanders? Where does that opening rank now that the Seahawks are looking for a coach, that the Patriots are looking for a coach? Does that hurt their buying power in this market? We'll dive into that. We'll take your phone calls. If you want to load up the lines, it's 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. This is MP on the mic. This is Thursday morning. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
He's the dean of local TV sports. And if it seems like he knows it all, that's because he does. It's time for Thursdays with Lane Casadante of CBS 6.
See, he's proud of his sounder here, so you get to hear it. But it's good. All right, Lane Casadante, CBS 6. What's up, man?
Hey, good morning. My apologies for missing my earlier appointment.
Lane,
I'll tell you what, I'll do this one at half price.
Lane, you are good. So in the world of radio, you know, I get hit up a lot to be on radio shows, and you end up just like, it's never like, oh my gosh, like Bill Belichick called, so I had to miss the call. Like in my experience, it was always just like, I went outside to like, you know, rake some leaves, and then 2 hours later, I had 17 missed calls. That's always been my experience. But we're glad to have you now. Glad you're on the program, and glad to be talking about some winners, because Virginia Tech won last night against Clemson. VCU won on Tuesday. I was worried this was going to be a bleak week for talk radio segments. Is there hope that these guys can get it turned around in time?
Well, you're only as good as your last outing, right? And VCU definitely took Ryan Odom's message about defense to heart, harassing George Mason into an ofer from behind the arc on Tuesday night in a four-point game. So that's highly significant, as Radar O'Reilly used to say. And you also had Tech coming out last night against – I don't know why this is, but every time I see a little number next to Clemson in basketball season, I'm stunned.
Yeah.
Like, how are they ranked? I can't remember the last halfway decent game I saw them win. And yet somehow they're always ranked, and every time I see them, they always lose. So and not to take away from what the Hokies did last night, they got a couple of career nights from Tyler Nickel against his old team and from Sean Padula. Hunter Couture's injury, we still have to wait and see how much that's going to impact this team, how much he might miss moving forward. But that was a good win for them last night, and they needed it. And this the Spiders came from behind at Loyola, won on the road again. Ryan Odom said Monday that, you know, you win championships with defense, but you also win them with road victories, and those are almost worth double when you get into conference play.
Oh, no question, and it you know, so good to get that momentum, and with conference play coming. UVA off for the week. We're looking for them to get their win on the board this weekend, hopefully, after some rough road games, some early losses at Notre Dame and NC State. We got Lane Casadane of CBS 6 here, and Lane, the football world got rocked over the last 24 hours. We've got Pete Carroll moving to an executive role. Bill Belichick mutually parting ways with the Patriots. I'm tired of that phrase already. We've got Nick Saban full-on retiring at Alabama. How do you pick up the pieces here and make sense of everything that just happened?
Well, every time, you know, one of those came out, we were, you know, wow, that's a big story. Nope, now that's a big story. And then this morning, even though the Belichick thing probably didn't come as a complete surprise, but you were just like, oh, okay, this is when they're going to do it. But I think, and I'm not positive of Belichick's age, but I know Saban and Carroll are both 72, and Belichick's got to be right around that age. He might actually be a little bit older than that. And, I mean, honestly, I don't want to be doing what I'm doing when I'm 72. I don't care how much money I'm making. I mean, these guys are retirement age. They're grandfathers. You know, the fact that we expect these guys to go on forever is probably a little ridiculous. And, you know that Saban kind of went out losing in overtime to the eventual national champion. Pete Carroll just missed the playoffs this year. And, you know, Belichick hasn't been the same since Tom Brady left, and you can go back and forth on that dynamic for an entire show. But, you know, these guys, they've more than put in their time and their dues and their efforts to their chosen profession. And if they want to step away, they've more than earned the right to walk away on their own terms.
I think Saban's the next iteration of this. You know, Kay and Roy retired a couple of years ago. Like, college sports is changing so fast. I could see him just saying, I'm not here to learn how to win in an NIL world. Like, I've done enough. I've shown enough. I'm going to go be on College Game Day each week and enjoy my life and not have to worry about whether I've got enough money in the budget to keep a sophomore who doesn't play all that much.
Yeah, and I think in Saban's particular case, I think that's a huge part of it, and I think you are probably going to see more coaches who, you know, are of a different generation, even our generation. You know, Saban and those guys are all one step above us, but it's, you know, you can completely understand this isn't the sport that I grew up in. This isn't the sport that I came up in. This is different, and I don't recognize it, and I'd really rather not deal with it. Nick Saban clearly isn't doing this for the money. He isn't doing this for his legacy. He isn't doing this for another trophy. So why is he doing it? And like you said, you know, look at what Jay Wright did at Villanova.
Yeah.
Two championships in 3 years. I'm good. See ya. And now he makes, you know, doesn't make the same money, but he makes pretty good money just being an analyst on CBS, and they love to have him.
Oh, he's so good on TV, too. I really enjoy watching him. He's a great addition to that crew. Tony Bennett's basically the dean of the ACC coaches now. Leonard Hamilton at Florida State, but in your, you know, traditional mid-Atlantic area, like, you don't realize Tony Bennett's been there a dang long time.
Yeah, and Bennett has not exactly embraced NIL and the transfer portal. He's, you know, it's a fact of life, and he's kind of been, you know, dragged along with it. And, you know, you get behind and you have to catch up. And whether you like it or not, you better get good at it if you want to remain a competitive program. And I know Bennett and his staff have made strides in this, but there's no question that they're a little behind everybody else in dealing with the portal. I would completely understand if Krzyzewski and Roy Williams, the two guys you mentioned, if they looked into their crystal ball and just said, this isn't, you know, not what I signed up for. I'm good. And, you know, they left their programs to younger coaches, a little closer to the current generation. Maybe their fingers a little more on the pulse of what these kids are looking for and how this sport might look in 5 years.
No question. Lane Cassidane joins us from CBS 6. With Bennett, too, he kind of never embraced being a face of the ACC or a face of the league either. That made him very different from Boeheim and Kay and Roy, who were always out front and things. He never seemed to have that preference either.
Oh, no. And that's not why Tony Bennett's in it. And you respect him even more because of it. But to your point, he's now, you know, one of the old guys, and he's been around the longest. And with that comes a certain responsibility to, if not be the public face, then at least be the private face amongst the coaches and be that voice, you know, in the room that sticks up for your brethren. And I don't know, you know, Tony's personality doesn't necessarily lend itself to, you know, being the keynote speaker at the ACC Media Days every year. But in some way, shape, or form, he has now become the guy that everybody else kind of looks to set the trend and, you know, be the pulse of at least the coaching in the ACC, whether, you know, and maybe he's not completely comfortable with that, but it kind of comes with longevity and tenure.
No doubt, comes with the territory, and certainly the money and the TV ratings and all those things, the ticket sales and all that. Lane Cassidane, we love having him on Thursdays from CBS Sports, CBS 6 Sports, only show in town. What do you guys have cooking up this weekend, Lane?
This weekend, tonight, actually, our Beyond the Roster feature is going to be on the VCU Local 4, the four guys that have come back.
Yes.
Three, really. Along with Fats Billups, the guys that played so much on the Siegel Center floor as high school players and AAU players, and now they have all made the decision to come back, and it's a history-making season for VCU. As long as I've been here, and I've asked people that have been here longer than I have, we've never had this many local kids on either Richmond's or VCU's roster. And it kind of went hand in hand, even though it was not necessarily intentional, but it went hand in hand with Ryan Odom's need to build a roster when he got here, because that roster was in so much flux after Mike Rhodes left and Ryan was announced as the new head coach. And it just so happened that, you know, there were three guys very familiar with the place that decided to come on back.
No doubt. It's a great thing for the city. It's a great thing for local basketball, and be excited to watch that. Lane, appreciate you taking some time, and we'll catch you next week.
Yep, Mike, thanks for having me. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right, you bet. Beyond the Roster on CBS 6 tonight with the local players. Great time for Richmond basketball. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Well, 11:35, two segments left on this Thursday morning. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the Odyssey APA. We'll take you up to noon. A1 Radio's with you for 3 hours. Grant and Danny will drive you home on the Fan. May have some Commanders news by then. And I know nobody I trust better to break that down than those guys throughout the afternoon. It seems like things are moving quickly. May have a general manager of the Washington Commanders before long here. I'm circling Adam Peters, assistant GM of the San Francisco 49ers, a guy everybody's been chasing for a couple of years. Would be a great early get. I think it would also put to bed a little bit of the Bill Belichick talk and a little bit of the Harbaugh talk, just because those guys aren't going to come into a defined system. Those guys want to create their systems, and that's not something that's going to happen, obviously, with the general manager already in place. It buys you a little insurance against doing anything crazy if you're Josh Harris, lining up the GM first, making that hire as you go into coaching interviews, because the GM's sitting there in the room saying, here's how I see this organization running, and you're getting hired by them, not the other way around. It's a little bit of crazy insurance, and we all need some crazy insurance in this world out here. Speaking of, our first segment today, if you missed it, grab it on the podcast or on the Odyssey app, breaking down just where we stand with the new diamond here. We did a lot of Saban talk today and a lot of Belichick talk today, but we're live, we're local, and I just wanted to make sure to say, this is incredibly disappointing to see this reporting coming out that the city is not paying VCU $25 million, that it owes it for Sportsbackers Stadium in an attempt to try to get this ballpark back on its time frame, because we're dealing with actual deadlines here. And Major League Baseball understands Richmond's a good baseball market, and this is a place they want to be. But Major League Baseball is bigger than Richmond and bigger than this market, and unfortunately bigger than the Squirrels. And if they need to bail, they'll bail. If there's no shovel in the ground this year, they understand you're not hitting a 2026 deadline. There's no second chances here if they move, because MLB calls all the shots now. It's your fancy word guy today. Is that cabal? Is that a cabal, right? If they control everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Or a monopoly.
They bought all the minor leagues. They control the minor leagues now.
Yeah.
They move the teams where they want to move the teams.
Well, Mike.
And if we don't have a ballpark, we're not going to have a team.
We haven't had shovels in the dirt since we were the Braves. Let's be real about it. This diamond situation has been going on a long time.
The frustrating part to me is you've got Mayor Stoney out here taking victory laps. I solved the problem. I've got a new ballpark for us.
Right.
And now he's off running for governor, and we still don't have a ballpark.
Hey, it feels
like there was an intermediate step there that we missed. The part where you build the ballpark.
Hey, wait, come back. You didn't do that first thing you were talking about. He's like, nope, on to bigger, better things.
That felt important to me. That step was an important step. Hopefully they'll get back on track. Would be great to see some progress.
I'm hoping for it.
On that front. Phone lines open here for the remainder of the show. 833-804-0910. A little Hokies victory lap this morning. They take down Clemson 87-72. I loved Lane's thought on that. We had Lane Castadone, CBS 6, in the previous segment. It's always a little surprising to see that Clemson is ranked in basketball. Like, we should be used to it by now, but it's still a little jarring to be like, big game coming. Oh, man, who's coming? Is it Duke? Is it North Carolina? Clemson's coming to town. Oh, no, it's January. It's basketball season. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're talking about their basketball team. You're like, oh, they do have one.
Good to see the Hokies come out on top there in that game. They'll take on Miami, Jim Larrañaga's crew, Saturday night. That would obviously be a nice one to have. You don't put that one in the bank, but it's going to be a rough and tumble ACC, just as it's been a rough and tumble A-10 this year. Wanted to spotlight this tweet yesterday. Matt Shelton-Eyed, he's a VCU Ram Nation, the podcast, the message board, all that. He said what I've been thinking for a while, and so I'm going to say it out of his mouth, but I'm going to say that this is co-signed. This is out of my mouth, too.
Okay.
A huge key for VCU going forward, Sean Bairstow. Sean has been, statistically speaking, bad. His box score, his plus minus is minus 3.4, second worst on the team, only ahead of Roosevelt Wheeler, who's only played 44 minutes. He's second in minutes per game. His D hasn't been great, and his shot selection hasn't been great.
Mm.
I'd like to co-sign that. I've wondered because we've seen kind of the bench-a-thon that Ryan Odom's been running over the past few weeks here. Sending his message, getting his message across, right? If you don't play offense, if you don't play defense, if you're not on board with the program, you're moving to the bench. And, you know, he's juggling a lot of minutes and a lot of guys. But it seems like it's a given that for 34 minutes a night, Bairstow's going to be out there. He's coming back from an injury. There are extenuating circumstances. But you see, part of this is, right, like when you're, he's not the coach's kid, but you're kind of the coach's kid because he came with him from Utah. When you're the coach's kid, people view you as being a favorite already. And when he's out there and he's not contributing, you see that. My guy Awad's jumping around here. You taped a new Black and Gold podcast last night. I haven't heard it yet. If you address the issue, I'll get to that.
I don't think we did, but we Sean did have a good podcast. It's available Spotify, iTunes, Black Gold Fan Podcast. Are you done with your rant? Have more. I love your opinion on things. I think you're being too much of an analytics nerd right now.
Yeah.
The numbers don't look good for Bairstow, but when you watch the game, he is so important for this offense. There was a possession against Mason where he backed his defender down, and then the ball swung out from the inside out, and we got a wide open three. And that's what this offense needs is paint touches, right? Who else on this team can back a guy down? It's not going to be Christopher Herman. It's not going to be Toby Lilwall. Roosevelt Wheeler doesn't play. Sometimes you need a paint touch to have more efficient offense, and that's what Bairstow brings. Defensively, he hasn't been at his best, but he got two big stops against Mason while Furman and Lawal were on the bench and Kwani was playing center. Bairstow helped out his power forward and got a rebound and a stop. I get what you're saying. He came from Utah State, and you know Ryan Odom definitely looks at him differently because of that, but I think, man, he is so important for this team. Like, I'm not taking away his minutes to give him to who?
He's made some good plays, and I don't want to be like the rant is Sean Bairstow sucks, because I don't think that. I think he's a good basketball player. I just don't think he's being held to the same standard as everybody else. He's had defensive lapses and hasn't been benched. He's had these. Now the other part of this is what we'd heard all year was when Bairstow gets back, he's the guy who makes the clutch baskets. But now you have two of those guys because you have Joe Bamisil too, which you didn't count on. So to me, that makes him a little less essential to the operation. Clearly he knows the offense. He knows it so well. That's a big plus as he's teaching everybody else. But I was told like the value of Bairstow is clutch time, man. He's got that. He would have been so big in Orlando when they couldn't get a clutch basket. But now you got two guys who can get a clutch basket.
Well, I think you have four. You know, I mean, we've seen Zeb Jackson had the clutch shot against Mason. A lot of teams try to figure this out where, yeah, you're going to have games throughout the season that are within 4 points in the final minute. You're going to need a shot. Who's it going to be? And a lot of times, you know, during the season, you think one guy's the guy, and then he's not. Then you have to try someone else. And, you know, we've seen teams fail like that. The Wizards, for years, thought Bradley Beal was the guy to make the clutch shot,
yep.
And he wasn't the guy. With Bairstow, I go back to the numbers don't look good, but the numbers are not painting a full picture of the game. And so Bairstow's not the guy, in my opinion, that you're going to run the final play for him to get the shot, but you're going to run the final play for him to make the pass that leads to the open shot. Because he runs the offense, he knows the offense well, he's very unselfish, he's a walking mismatch. I mean, when I was getting ready for the game against GW, the former LaSalle coach was getting ready to do the color analyst position, and he was talking about Bairstow being this unbelievable mismatch because he's so much taller than guards and so much quicker than power forwards, and so he's a walking mismatch, which means we've just got to take advantage of that. He might be a mismatch on the defensive end. Other teams are doing a better job of taking advantage of that. But for our offense, we need him on the court to be the facilitator and also get less minutes of Zeb Jackson dribbling the ball 100 times. Zeb is so much better, in my opinion, as a slasher, yep. As a guy that gets to the basket. He's better when he catches and shoots than pulls up off the dribble. So I personally think let's get more Sean Bairstow.
You're insane. You're absolutely insane. You just two things. You just described Shulga. You just described Shulga. That's Shulga's job to facilitate and to dribble the ball down the court. That's his role. Secondly, he's a mismatch inside and he's a mismatch outside, but he's not succeeding from three and he's not succeeding in the paint. Right. He's succeeding by creating 18-foot jumpers, which nobody wants. Nobody's asking for 18-foot jumpers.
No, but we're looking for the 10-foot shot that he's been clanking in and out. We need him to keep shooting that shot. That is a good college basketball shot. You have to keep shooting it.
You're ready for a Kwani bounce back here, right? Where he plays a few and then he catches his form.
Oh, 100%.
And he starts hitting.
I mean, what do you have, like 23 in his first game that he played? You know, he has that ability. Look, the numbers don't look good, but the numbers aren't basketball.
I just think Bama still being available negates Bairstow's advantage in a lot of ways.
No, because I think you put Bama still in for Shulga. I think you have to put Kwani or Michael Bell in for Bairstow. And when you do that, you lose a lot on the offensive end.
Man, Bell was so good defensively, but you really can't overlook that 1-for-5 shooting. All right, Josh, the vein is bulging out of his head over here. We're so late to the break. We're about to lose JC. I better pilot this thing into a commercial. In a lot of ways, Crosstalk just started early today. Look at it that way. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. All right, you call it the return of Crosstalk, Crosstalk's revenge. We kind of just had a little crosstalk there when I mentioned Sean Bairstow, and my guy came to his defense.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was Sean Bairstow's father, but I will stand for the Bear all season long. I just love what he brings to the table. I mean, you don't see a guy that's that tall, that can handle the rock, that isn't looking for his own shot. He's looking to set up his teammates. I do think when VCU is at its best, you're going to see Bairstow's name mentioned a lot.
I agree. Clearly, this offense was designed and set up to run through him and get inside with him, and we're not seeing enough of that right now. And you know, the offense worked at its best with him, but the defensive end was lapsing against the Bonnies and LaSalle. But it's a new turn the page. It's a new corner. But it's a big AWOD radio today.
Yeah.
We got a big guest. This is not the final time we'll use this sounder, but we're approaching the final time.
We'll now begin the push-up section. Ready? Begin.
You want to go? Is that it? You want me to go? Hell, I'd love to go. You want to go?
Everything is about winning.
3, 2, and showtime.
All right, Awan and I have a bet. Jack Del Rio got fired, and a thing I said was things will get better now that Ron Rivera is running the defense. That's a thing I said. You don't have to pull the clip. I'll own it. I said it. So we made a bet. The loser has to do 50 push-ups or attempt to do 50 push-ups.
No, you have to do 50. You fail
non-consecutive.
Yes, non-consecutive. But if you fail, we will go to commercial break, get you some Gatorade, some Pedialyte, and you will then finish the final.
Well, like
amount.
If I tape around at 35, do I reset at zero or do I just 15 as soon
just
as
15
I
more as
when
soon
I bounce
you,
back?
When you bounce
I might
back,
need like a Gatorade IV. That might be worth looking into here. But no official ruling has been made because this bet was placed in the very capable hands of Neil Greenberg.
Yes.
He's the stats guy for the Washington Post. The numbers don't lie, and he speaks with the numbers. He has a crystal ball. He talks to the numbers, and the numbers speak to him. And through that, we get... So, 12:30 today, is that...
12:30 today. Remind the audience, all right?
12:30 today, we will each make our case in front of Judge Greenberg.
Right. But right now, why did you believe the defense would improve?
I think I will plea temporary insanity.
Okay. Because my case was that as bad as Jack Del Rio is as a defensive coordinator, I was very confident Ron Rivera was worse. And it turns out Ron Rivera just decided, I don't care about this stupid bet. I'm not even going to call the plays. He hired somebody else.
They were the 32nd best team in football.
Yeah.
And last I checked, there were 32 teams. And so my thought was, how could they be worse? They're already 32nd. Surely the only place they can go from here is up. But up was not a button on Ron Rivera's remote, it turns out.
Yeah. Dolphins 45, Commanders 15. Rams 28, Commanders 20. Jets 30. That's the embarrassing one. Jets scoring 30.
It's humiliating.
Niners 27, Commanders 10. And then Cowboys 38. Washington 10. I guess before that, we started the bet, the Cowboys put up 45, so I guess 38's not as bad.
That's 7-point improvement, by the way. That is up, I guess, technically. The Rams one is the one that stands out to me because they missed on like 3 easy long touchdowns. Right. That should have been a 40-burger.
And they had the most wide-open touchdown of the entire NFL season.
They did.
With Cooper Kupp. So it just shows you how much of a defensive breakdown the Commanders had. Who's in charge? Ron Rivera.
All right, we'll make our cases at 12:30 to Neil Greenberg. The veins pop, and we got to get out of here. AWOD Radio's up next. Grant, Danny, drive you home. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.